As some of you know, I am a therapist here in the state of Texas, and I work with a lot of different types of people. Now, this YouTube channel has become my passion, my hobby, where I speak about many different things, the Blessed Mother, our Catholic faith, purgatory are some of my most recent videos. But just recently, a viewer asked me some questions about their personal life, so I wanted to put out maybe a series on our psychological health and integrating it with our spirituality. Join me in this video as we explore how to overcome anxiety and depression and the idea of scribulosity. Join me in a prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, you are the wonder counselor, the one that brings us health of mind, body, and soul. Please inspire this video that we may, through the gift of psychology, come to have mental wholeness so that our souls and hearts can be given to you completely. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Our Lady, Star of the Sea, pray for us. St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just as an initial comment, sometimes as Catholics, we have this bias against mental health. And as Catholics, we need to embrace everything that is true. So for instance, we embrace physical health. We embrace exercise and eating healthy. And these things are totally compatible with our faith because we are temples of the Holy Spirit. So we have to take care of that temple. Well, part of that includes our mental health. Now, we have to understand that there's our spirit, and then there's our mind and our emotions, and there are different things that are connected, and they're not incompatible, nor can you solve one without the other. So, for instance, with psychology, we cannot get questions answered about our spirituality. That's learned from the scriptures, from our Catholic faith, and that's for our soul. And it may impact our emotional health, but not necessarily. Likewise, psychology goes very deep into things about our emotional health. And especially as I study that, I've seen that our faith doesn't answer those questions because it's not its job. Just like our faith doesn't answer questions about science and other things, that's not what it's trying to do. It's answering the question, who is God? And how can we be in best relationship with Him here on earth so that we can be with Him in heaven, right? That's what our faith does. Well, psychology is here to help us with our emotions and our way of thinking and our behaviors so that we can understand them, where they come from, and be the healthiest person possible. So, by the way, this is the channel Uniquely Mary, and that title is not my name. Sometimes people think that that's who I am. That's the name of the channel. My name is Alvaro. And I wanted this channel to really focus on the Blessed Mother, who is the healthiest, most psychologically sound human ever. And so we want to be like her and have our minds formed to be like her in the image of Jesus, in the image of the Blessed Mother, who are the perfect humans. So a viewer asked the question about her scrupulosity and her anxiety. So first of all, I am also an OCD therapist. And often when we say OCD, we mean that we're very, so to speak, sorry for the word, anal, but very organized and everything has to be a certain way. That's not exactly what you mean when we say OCD. A person that has OCD has intrusive thoughts that they often can't control. They're often about a topic that they're very concerned about, safety, cleanliness, religious things. Maybe protecting sexuality. So they get a whole series of types of intrusive thoughts. And if you don't have them, it's hard for you to understand how intrusive these thoughts or images or impulses are. And then they have a corresponding behavior or mental action that they do to try to get some sort of reassurance, to try to relieve that distress caused by those obsessions. So they have these obsessions and they have compulsions. And these take anywhere from an hour a day of your time, so to speak, wasting your time, up to about 8 or 9 hours a day. This is what we mean by OCD. And in OCD, there are different categories. One of them the one that that the viewer asked was scrupulosity. Now, a person that has scrupulosity will have any type of obsession. So let me give you an example of what scrupulosity might look like. So the person might have the intrusive thought of, I've sinned, and is what I did a sin or not? And this thought comes a lot. It's not just a little bit. It's not just like a regular person. It's clearly excessive. Have I sinned? Have I not? I'm not sure. Maybe I sinned. And then their greatest fear is, and if I sinned, I'm going to be separated from God and maybe even go to hell. But the way that they experience it is 100 times more intense and more excessive than the regular person. So this isn't just someone who's sensitive. This is someone's brain that is on overdrive, producing this thought over and over again. So often their compulsion, for instance, can be maybe Googling constantly, is this a sin? Is this a sin? Or asking people around them, did I sin? Was that a sin? Do you think it was a sin? And the compulsion, no matter how many times they ask, they never get enough reassurance. And so they get into this cycle where they have this doubt, seek reassurance, not enough. Have this doubt, seek reassurance, not enough. That's classic scrupulosity. Not very many people have that. About 2.5% of the population has OCD. So if you have this specific description of scrupulosity, there is this treatment called exposure and response prevention. Now, if I were to describe it to you, you would think that I was crazy. The treatment is very odd, but it has statistically been shown to help. Now, I'm going to save all that for another video. Typically, when people say scrupulosity, what they mean is that they're very sensitive and they're sort of very doubtful whether they're in a state of grace, and so they go to confession often, and often might be once a week, a couple times a week. Where someone that has OCD scrupulosity would want to go to confession twice a day, every day. So it's in a totally different category. So in regards to scrupulosity and anxiety, I believe that the person that was asking, it's a little bit more related to their history, whereas often OCD is something biological also that is happening. It's not just your personal history. Something in the brain is malfunctioning, and this therapy kind of helps to correct that. And in fact, it doesn't even require medication. But again, we'll talk about that in a later video. So getting into anxiety and scrupulosity to answer her specific questions, Jesus wants us to be healed. It's not his desire for us to be sick. Case in point, and I got this from this one book I read where they made this unbelievable point. If you look at every encounter in the Gospels, exorcisms, healings, or any type of healing and exorcism that Jesus goes to, he never tells the person no. He never says, offer it up, it's your cross, I'm not going to heal you, it's God's will for you. Never. In fact, I dare you to go and look at every single healing that Jesus does, every single encounter with a sick person. He heals every single person. Therefore, it is the will of Jesus to heal all of us. Why aren't we all healed? Because of our ignorance and because of our lack of holiness. But if we really grew close to God, if we really put ourselves to study and to know, all illnesses would be healed. But it's because of ignorance and sin that we do not draw close enough to God to allow his healing power through us. So it is never God's will for us to be sick. Now, God can use our illnesses for our benefit. He can use our illnesses to atone for the sins of others. He can use what's bad in the world for something good, but it's not his primary will. Now, he may want us to suffer willingly for the salvation of others and evangelizing and praying for others and sacrificing, but that's different. That's suffering that's more dignified, where we choose it freely. Suffering through sickness is different. It's much more passive. We don't really have control. It's not really our choice. We just try to make the best of it. Can you see the difference? God doesn't want us to be in this victim role. He wants us to choose to lay down our lives. Jesus said, I lay down my life freely, not out of sickness, not because I inherited it from my parents. That's not God's will. If we are to suffer in this life, God wants us to do it freely. Having been healed, He still wants us to take up the cross of suffering for others, evangelizing others, accepting the rejection that others give us because of proclaiming the truth. That's the type of suffering Jesus wants. Do you see the difference? One is actively chosen, the other is passively received. Both of those can be offered to God on behalf of others. But God does not want us to stay in the role of a victim. He does not want that. He wants us to be a sacrifice, not a victim. The difference is chosen, and this one is sort of accepted. So going more deeply into that, especially with what the person was bringing up, often it feels as if the anxieties and the depressions that we have are inherited from our families. Now, there may be traits that are there, but most likely what the case is that these are behaviors that have been passed down and ways of thinking, almost strongholds of thinking, maybe even spiritual realities that have been passed down through sin and defects that have not been corrected. And so it's just passed down from one generation to another. And then, so it seems genetic, but it's not quite. When we speak about genetics, it's more like the color of our hair, the color of our eyes, this and that. Maybe personality traits, but not whole behaviors. So it's not genetic that someone is a good basketball player. It's genetic that someone is tall, that they have very strong muscles, that they are fast and jump high. But genetics does not, you know, combine the whole in that way, if that makes sense. So how do we deal with it? You're anxious, you're depressed. So typically something that comes first is the anxiety, this fear. So anxiety is where we have this fear of something in front of us and we feel like we don't have the resources to deal with it. Life, our job, our family, whatever it is that's in front of you, you don't feel like you have the resources to deal with it. That makes you anxious. So ants are small. We can squish them. They don't make us anxious unless there's a million of them. But if it's a tiger or a lion, that makes us anxious because we're not sure if we can handle the threat. So often as we were raised as little children, when we were growing up, we were very little. So everything was a bigger threat to us than we were able to handle. Often anxiety begins in these stages. Maybe our parents didn't pay attention to us. Maybe there was something that happened. Maybe there was small things that happened that as little babies put us on alert, put us in this anxious mode because we somehow got the message that our environment wasn't completely safe. Pretty much anyone who's born into this world as a baby, you're going to have some amount of anxiety because the world that you're born into isn't completely safe. But the more dangerous it is, the more anxiety you have. This anxiety becomes a pattern. It's a survival mechanism that keeps you alive. Are you still alive? Then it worked. But unfortunately, this anxiety isn't helpful anymore because now it's getting in the way of you surviving. And then that constant anxiety, that constant your body being in that place of fight, flight, or freeze can overload your system, and that leads to a depression because it's depressing and it's utterly sad to constantly be in that mode of danger. So these two are often related. How do you resolve it? Our faith can be an answer. We can ask Jesus to lift off of us this fear, to heal the root, whatever fears we have, maybe not feeling safe with our parents, that Jesus heal that wound towards our father or towards our mother through the relationship with Jesus, through relationship with God the Father, through relationship with the Blessed Mother. That's why it's important to have these specific relationships. Father wound, healed by God the Father. Mother wound, healed by the Blessed Mother. It's a very specific fit. So that's something to consider, to bring your spirituality into those deep wounds. Simple biological things that we can do. Now, this is going to sound just too simple. And you've thought, okay, I've been listening to this video for 15 minutes now. Why didn't he just say it? Because I want to build up so you can understand everything that I'm saying. So one of the easiest things for us to do to reduce our anxiety is to calm our body. It's too hard sometimes to deal with our mind. It's too hard to deal with just our emotions. But our bodies can be simple to bring down and relax. What's the easiest way to relax our bodies? Through slow breathing. There is this simple breathing technique called resonant breathing, and it mimics the breathing pace that we have when we're very relaxed. Simple idea. If we breathe as if we're relaxed, it will relax our bodies and everything else will follow. So it's very simple. You breathe in for 6 seconds and then breathe out for 6 seconds for a total of 12 seconds. In other words, 5 full breaths per minute. They did studies with this where they gave different people a breathing regimen, probably 15 to 20 minutes of this type of breathing a day, which is a lot. So you can understand why it helped. And they did this over several months, and people with all types of issues, PTSD, anxiety, depression, they were all greatly resolved. Why? Because it relaxed the body. No more sense of fear. No more all the fight, flight, or freeze. No more tension and sadness. Relieves the depression. Relieves the PTSD fight or flight mode. Simply by relaxing kind of the bottom level, it lets everything kind of fall out and your body come back to normal. So these are two simple things. First of all, asking if it's a father wound, God the Father, to build a new relationship, you and Him, and heal the past one. Your mother wound, Blessed Mother, to invite her into your heart, to establish a new relationship where you feel new levels of safety with both of them, along with prayer, along with asking for healing, and doing the physical work, which is just breathing in a way that's relaxed, resonant breathing. Look that up and you'll find studies that talk about that. I hope this was helpful. So first, the idea that Jesus wants us healed, but we have to educate ourselves and do the work. Asking for our Father and our Mother wound to be healed through God the Father and the Blessed Mother, and then simple breathing technique. Very, very, very simple. To relax your body, to place it in a place of rest so that it can heal and everything else can kind of fit together and work together. My friends, I hope this was helpful. If you have any other questions about your psychological health or your mental health, ask. I'd love to explain, go into detail. Hey, it's cheaper than a therapy session. And pray for me, pray for this channel, that I continue being of benefit to you. God bless you and have a beautiful day.